1 Corinthians chapter number 14. One of the great benefits that we have as people that are baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues is what it says in this verse. We're not just, I don't know if you think much about it, but we're just not like common Christians. Now, I don't mean common according to the Bible. I mean common according to our day. We're just, we got a whole new way of living. We got a way of living that is a spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled. Remember, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Be filled continually in Ephesians. Be filled continually with the Spirit. That's our life. That's our flow. We don't live empty. We live full. And he said there in Ephesians, I'm in 1 Corinthians 14, but in Ephesians he said there, that's the will of God. Amen. Remember, it said, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then he said, don't be drunk with wine, but be continually filled. The will of God is that we be continually filled. Yes. Amen. Amen. And, you know, if you're going to be full of something, you may as well be full of something that's got power and is going to help you. And that's the way we are privileged to live. Jesus was God's gift to the world. We're celebrating that at Christmas, but the Holy Spirit was Jesus' gift to his church. Amen. The Holy Spirit is twofold. His ministry is twofold. He comes in the new birth, but then he also fills us in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yes. We get utterance in other tongues. And so this verse is talking about that second part, filling with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. That's important for us to know. We're not talking to people. People say, well, that needs to be interpreted. Well, if it's an utterance that, let me say it this way. Tongues goes two directions. You can read this verse says we're talking to God, but you can read other verses even in this same chapter that talks about, let's see here, there's times that, I didn't plan on getting in on this, but he said there later in verse number 21, in the law it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. That's speaking to men in tongues. So tongues is two directions. Can you see verse 2 is to God and verse 21 is to men?
Yes.
Whichever direction it's going determines whether it needs to be interpreted or not. People come in, new people, not you, but new people come into meetings like this. We all start lifting our voice and praying in tongues, and they say, well, that's not scripture. You're supposed to interpret that. Well, if it's God speaking to us through an utterance, that needs to be interpreted. If it's us speaking to God in an utterance, that doesn't necessarily need to be interpreted. We can get the interpretation of what we're praying in tongues to God, talking to God about, but anyway, just thought I'd explain that. Verse 2 is talking to God. In the Spirit, no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. And he's talking to God from the first part of the verse. Speaks not unto men, but unto God. So you're talking mysteries with God, or talking to God about something that is a mystery to your mind.
Yes. Amen.
Well, there's a lot that could include. There's a lot that could cover, but Primarily, I always look at that verse and I think of the plan of God.
Right.
Or let's put it this way, the future.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, somebody say, what's the future hold? Well, God knows the future better than we know the past.
Yes. Yes.
He knows what the future holds.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. And so, but you can pray those things out. God doesn't have us speaking mysteries. Like it says here, he doesn't have us speaking mysteries just to sit up in heaven, poke Jesus and say, they don't know what they're talking about. I know, you and I know what they're talking about, but they don't know what they're talking about. No, there's a purpose in this. There's a purpose in speaking in other tongues. Or let's put it more specifically, there's a purpose for speaking out these mysteries. What is the purpose of speaking mysteries? God wants to reveal the mystery.
Yes.
That's what we're speaking it out for, so it can be revealed.
That's right.
Let's go to Romans 8, and tonight look at that verse before we go any further. I want to pray about some things concerning the church, concerning the ministry tonight. And primarily, unless the Lord leads us differently, I want to pray about this building over here. We'll see. Maybe the Lord will lead us different. We might pray about that for a while and then get on something else. We'll see. This verse in Romans 8, in verse 26, we're all familiar with this. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm so thankful that I speak with other tongues. Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all, he said. So he put the whole Corinthian church in one big lump and said, you put all your speaking in tongues together, I speak in tongues more than you do. That's a lot of speaking in tongues. No wonder he got so much revelation. Mysteries prayed out bring revelation. And so, hallelujah. Got some bubbling going on in my spirit already. I've been praying in tongues over the last couple of weeks extra because of some things I see coming. This is good. Verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. If I fall out here and start praying in tongues and you don't know what's happening, just leave me alone. I'm fine. It's already bubbling on the inside. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Now that's plural, but he mentions one infirmity. For we know not. One of our infirmities is we don't know everything. God does, but we don't. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We might know some things, but we don't know as we ought. In other words, we don't know fully. You might generally have a sense. You know, generally I have a sense God wants to use me or God wants to do something with my life. Somebody to explain that to somebody, you just only know maybe pieces of it. That's what he means, as we ought. We might know in part, but we don't know as we ought. God wants us to know as we ought. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But, thank God that but's there. The Spirit, King James says itself, many translations say himself. In fact, the margin of my Bible says himself, he's a person, makes intercession for the saints with groanings which cannot be uttered. So he's talking about the Spirit helping us to pray these things out that we don't know. Well, what is it we don't know? Verse 27, he that searches the hearts, God, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Oh, I could preach on this for 3 weeks. He that searches the hearts, that's talking about God, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. In other words, what the Spirit has in mind. Because he makes intercession for the saints. Here's what the Spirit has in mind when he's helping us to pray. He makes intercession for the saints. What's the next few words? According to the will of God. That's what the Spirit has in mind. The Spirit has the will of God in mind. The Spirit knows what God has in mind. He knows the will of God. And when he helps us pray, gives us utterance, that's one thing he's given us utterance for. He's given us utterance to pray out the plan of God, which we only know in part or maybe don't know anything about. But when you pray it out, he's helping you to pray it out so that it can be revealed. Praise God. Now go over to 1 Corinthians. That was two verses on this, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter number, I think it's 1 Corinthians. Let me make sure here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Verse number 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Come to nothing, reduced to zero, doomed to pass away is what one translation says. Talking about the devil. He's reduced to zero. Tell your neighbor the devil's a big zero. What you so scared of him for? Amen. Reduced to princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. That's what the mystery is. I was studying and meditating a bit this afternoon, preparing for tonight. I needed a nap, some things I was doing, but working out and stuff. But anyway, I woke up, and the first thing, as soon as I woke up, I heard in my spirit, one of the things that's in the spirit is the mystery. Now, when you read that or you hear that statement in the natural, you might think, well, what's he talking about? You could almost, every time you read the word mystery in the Bible, you could almost put in there answers.
Yes.
Or revelation.
Yes.
Or the plan.
Yes.
Amen. And one of the things that's in the Spirit, because the Bible tells us to pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit means under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, out of our spirits. We've defined that many times. I don't think we have to go over that again. But when we pray, we're praying out the plan of God with the help of the Holy Spirit and in some cases in tongues. That's in tongues. But he's talking about that mystery here. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory. You better be interested in the plan of God because it's where the glory is.
Yes, sir. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
What do we mean glory? You've been to, we were teaching on the glory. We're talking about the manifest presence of God, but we're also talking about the ultimate condition in which God created your life to look like.
Yes.
What he really has in mind for your life to look like.
Yes.
And how many of you know it's not broke, busted, disgusted? Running around with a big question mark over your head, and your main statement you make throughout all life is, I don't know.
Yeah, come on.
That's not the glory of God. The glory of God is you knowing something.
Yes, we know.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory. One translation says he marked it off as his plan to lift us into the glory.
Amen.
What did he mark off as his plan? The mystery, the hidden wisdom. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Don't look at me like that. I think y'all don't know what I'm talking about.
We're here.
Which none of the princes of this world knew. I almost want to say poor devil, but I'm not going to say it. He didn't know. Ha ha ha. If he'd have known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Same today. If he'd have known what the plan of God was for you.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen. He messes up when he doesn't know. And so do you. You just make wrong decisions, do wrong things, go wrong directions, talk wrong, act wrong, think wrong, believe wrong, make wrong decisions, go the wrong way, marry the wrong person, go to the wrong church, just everything's wrong. And then nothing goes right.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Right.
Come on.
That's just the result of not knowing.
Yes, sir.
Why would somebody not know? They don't shapakataya, zemagotoya, beleverejia. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's like the guy that was in the insane asylum beating his head against the wall saying, Mary. He was jilted by Mary years ago and he thought she was a sweetheart, wanted to marry her, never did. She said no. And he lost his mind because of it. On down about two cell blocks down is another man beating his head against the wall saying, Mary.
Yeah.
Somebody said, what's wrong with him? He married Mary.
Yeah.
If he'd have known, if that first guy had known, he would not be beating his head against the wall.
Come on, if he'd
have
Amen. Anyway, as it is written, verse 9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That would include the plan, wouldn't it? If you just read that verse, you think, well, we just don't know. But, verse 10, say but. What is it going to say after that? God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Oh, so it's the Spirit that reveals these things. The Spirit has all the answers you need. God's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, you look at that in some other translations, you could almost interpret it this way. He shines the searchlight on all things. Even the deep things of God. So that you go, oh. So without the help of the Spirit, that's my life picked up major steam when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. It was like I was driving a little one-cylinder motorcycle. was a Christian. But it's a but I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. God lifted the hood and put a turbocharged 8-cylinder under there, and my life has been different ever since. Including the revelation that flows. Oh my goodness. He shines the searchlight on the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit which is of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why? Here's one reason that you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That you might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Amen.
That you might know. That's why you have the Holy Spirit, that you would know. It just, the Holy Spirit will knock that question mark off over your head.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Especially if you pray a lot and yield to him and pray a lot in other tongues.
Thank you.
So we're going to get into this tonight. Which things also we speak? Look at verse number 13. Which things also we speak? Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I don't know if it's totally limited to this, but you could just write out beside verse 13, tongues. Because speaking in tongues is speaking not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. Isn't that right? You're speaking, you didn't learn the language intellectually that you're speaking in tongues. But I don't know if that's limited to that, but I think that's one thing he's talking about there. We speak words which the Holy Ghost teaches. When you speak in tongues, the Holy Ghost has given you those words.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So one of the things we're going to focus in on here tonight, like I said, is we're going to focus in on praying about the plan of God. There's a lot going on. There's just you might look at the natural and say, "Well, what are you talking about?" In the spirit is what I'm talking about. There's a lot of stirring. God spoke to me a while back and said, "You prayed out. You've walked out everything you've prayed out back there in that 8-hour period of time."
Yeah.
Remember back before we came here, the Lord said, "I want you to pray in tongues," and told me to pray for a longer, extended period of time, and I'd prayed for 8 hours. And prayed out a lot of things here at the church.
Yeah.
And he said to me a while back, he said, "You've walked out everything you've prayed out."
Right.
He said, "In order for some things to keep going, you're going to have to pray some more things out."
Right.
Now, all along we pray. But what he's saying is we got to have some extended periods of prayer.
Yeah.
And that's why we're having these extra times. I'm looking at how to do it next year. Next year. I want to have more next year. I'm looking for a way to try to not do it with an extra night of the week. And just believe God with me and help me see how to do it. But it seems like at the time when you're praying, it seems like sometimes, well, it just isn't bearing much fruit. You go down the road, though, a week or two or three or four or a few months, and all of a sudden some things start kicking in and some things, and you're like, whoa. We just had an experience taking care of some business, and I didn't tell Pastor Debbie that I had a real unction about the whole thing. In prayer, and prayed a lot in other tongues, and the thing just came to pass just as easy.
Praise God.
And we were almost done finishing it up, and she looked at me and she said, "It just seems like you almost prayed this out in the Holy Ghost or something." I said, "Well, I didn't tell you, but yeah, I did."
Yeah.
And it just went lickety-split. I don't know if you know what lickety-split means.
Yes, I do.
People from Detroit probably don't know what lickety-split means.
I know what that means.
Congratulations, you knew what it meant. But see, that's the way praying in tongues. You pray things out. You don't have to work them out. You just walk them out. You don't have to push them through. They'll almost push you.
Amen.
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 Amen. If your life seems labored, you're not praying enough in the Holy Ghost. You're not praying enough in the Holy Ghost. It just seems like everything I do is just a struggle to get it to happen, to get it to work. You're not praying enough in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're praying that out.
Yes.
You're praying it through. You ever heard the old timers used to say, pray it through, pray something through?
Yes,
and when you pray it through, you don't have to push it through. It almost pushes you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So you know, you can, and we're doing this, I got a call tomorrow, call the lawyer about this building over there. We called him to the seller of this building over here. We're not going to call him the owner. We're the owners.
Yeah. That's right.
He's not the owner, he's the seller. We called him today, and he's open to having the deal done by the end of the year. I wanted to ask him some things about, you know, whether he's trying to get some tax write-off this year and see how he wants to do this. And he's open to have it done by the end of the year. I said, well, can you even have it done by the end of the year? I mean, you've got 3 weeks and Christmas is in here. He said, yeah, it should take 5 or 6 days. I'm not quite sure, actually. But anyway, I'm going to go to the lawyer tomorrow and talk about the writing up the deal and so forth and so on. Well, the only problem is, he told us, it's not a problem for God. I'm just saying that he's got, there's some things he doesn't know yet.
Yeah.
He says, he said, don't even send me an offer for $200,000. He said, it's worth to me $300,000. Well, no, it's not worth $300,000 just because it's worth that to you.
Yeah, right.
You can say, I like that sweater. And I say, okay, I'll sell it to you. How much?
Yeah.
$700. Well, it's not worth that to you. Well, it's worth that to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't make it worth that.
Sure.
It's fair market value.
Yeah.
Anyway, so fair market value is probably about $175,000. And so, you know, so we're gonna talk about, you know, we're just going to follow the Spirit on what to do, taking steps, what we're supposed to do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Y'all are scared like this shouldn't go over live stream. Don't worry about it.
No.
Amen.
Right.
So I'm saying, okay,
yeah.
Well, what should we do? Holy Ghost, what should we do?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to offend him,
right.
You know, but, you know, what should we do here?
Right.
Well, that's what we're going to pray about tonight. What should we do?
Yeah.
Should we just wait?
Yeah.
You know, a good sailor, an old sailor, who was working on a boat while he was cleaning up after he'd done fishing.
Yeah.
And he's in there down the boat. It's a sailboat, so it has that big stern, whatever you call that thing, that mast. And so, but he's got a young recruit up there on top of that pole, fixing some ropes and stuff up there. And he's in there at the port. But yet the waves are pretty high, and a good-sized wave hit that boat and you know, jilted it. And up there, it's extra. It moves more than the boat.
Yeah. Right.
And so that thing hit that wave hit that boat and knocked that guy out of there, and he hit the water. And he went under. And he's a new guy, doesn't know how to swim very well, so he said, so the old sailor ran over to the edge of the boat, and the guy comes up, blah, 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 blah. He's flailing, and he went down again. And the old sailor just waiting on him.
That's right.
He came up again, and went down again. The old sailor's just waiting on him.
Yep.
And he did that like 3 times, and the 4th time he came up, and he went limp.
Uh-huh.
The old sailor jumped in, got him, and pulled him out.
Right.
Another guy was standing there and said, what on earth? You going to let that man die? He said, no, I had to let him get the kick out of him.
Yeah.
Yep. So he'll take both of us down.
Yeah.
He'll flail around, take both of us, and drown both of us.
That's right.
That's a smart man. He's been around people drowning before, so he knew what to do. So I think that's what we're going to have to do with this man. We're going to let him just let him get the kick out of him.
I'm right with you. Yep.
It's ours.
That's right. Yes.
Just let him get the kick out of him. Glug glug glug. 250. Glug, glug, glug. 200. Glug, glug, glug.
Yes, sir.
Fair market value. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Some of you are nervous. You need to get in faith. So I want to pray about it. How to do this? How long do we have to let him glug, 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 you know? Amen. 1 Corinthians 9:26. Go over there. Anybody got some relatives you've had to let them glug, glug, glug for a while? You got the answer for them, but boy, they sure aren't ready to hear it. 1 Corinthians 9:26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, and so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So, the Amplified says, rather than so run, not as uncertainly, the Amplified says without definite aim. If we don't pray out the plan of God and get the mind of God for what he wants us to do concerning a lot of things in life, then we're going to run without definite aim. In other words, our movement won't have direction. Amen. We won't be doing things on purpose. We'll just be reacting to circumstances. Amen. Praise God. I don't want to do that. I don't know if you remember over there in 1 Peter 2:10, it talks about he's redeemed us with the precious blood of Christ from a vain conversation. Yes. Yes. The Amplified says an empty, useless, throwaway life. Yep. Yep. What is an empty, useless, throwaway life? It's one that just lived for itself and not the purpose of God. Yes. Just their life didn't change anything on the earth as far as God or what didn't bear any fruit. That's somebody who's not either probably not saved, but or somebody who might be saved, but they're just living carnal in the flesh. Not living by the Spirit, not living their life. Their movement isn't by the Spirit. I would hate to do this survey, but I think I can guess the result. If you took a survey, I'm not just talking about maybe a church like ours, or but just the body of Christ at large, anybody that's born again, and find out where they are in life and why they are where they are in life. What I mean is they're living where they're living, doing what they're doing, living friends who their friends are, and going where they're going to church, and just whatever. If in the survey asks why they're doing that, most of the time it wouldn't be because they were led. It's all circumstantial.
Yeah, yeah.
Circumstances put them there. Circumstances moved them there. Circumstances brought those people into their lives.
Yes, sir.
You understand?
Yes.
That's a life lived without definite aim.
Yes.
They're not making choices on purpose.
Right.
They're just being bounced around from circumstance to circumstance.
Amen.
It's all true. We want to live differently.
Amen.
We're to make the plan of God a target for our prayer life. That's what these verses are saying. And the book of 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. He didn't say who, he said whatever, and whatever includes plans we make.
Yes.
Right.
If we make a plan and it didn't come from God, it's just concocted between our ears, from our own thoughts. We just planned it out, decided, intellectually, mentally. We evaluated and assessed all the pros and cons. And we got on Google and found out what other people said. Asked other people what to do. You know what I'm talking about? And then just rationalized it through and made a decision. Those are plans that were not born of God.
That's right.
1 Corinthians 14:14. Go there.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
How does it start out? Somebody give me the King James start, how it starts out.
For if I pray,
excuse me, in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is what?
Unfruitful.
Unfruitful. Unfruitful. So when we pray in tongues, we're not, because he's talking about praying in tongues there, isn't he? So when we're praying in tongues, our minds are unfruitful. Amen? In other words, when we pray in tongues, our minds, we're not bearing mental fruit.
Hallelujah.
In other words, concoctions of the mind or plans of the mind. Praying in tongues enables you to bear fruit from the Spirit.
That's right.
You ever notice the Bible said in the end, some will bring to God wood, hay, and stubble. Others, gold and silver and precious stones.
Yes.
Wood, hay, and stubble is just man's plans. Just what they decided to do.
Right.
Wasn't God's plan at all.
Right.
I actually shudder a little bit at how few people really hit the perfect will of God.
Yeah.
So, praise God, you're awfully quiet in here tonight. You know, if you rudder your tongue, you can rudder your life.
Yes.
James 3 said that. And part of that's praying in other tongues.
Yes.
Praying in other tongues. Pray out the plan. Pray out the mind of God. Get the mind of God. Pray it out until it's revealed. Access it through praying in other tongues. Pray out the things that you don't know about the next steps you need to take. Hallelujah. See, the plan is in your spirit. The plan is not in your mind. Now, it can float up. You might have part of the plan of God in your mind because you prayed in tongues and it floated up from your spirit to your mind. But what I'm saying is God doesn't communicate to your mind, his plan to your mind. He communicates his plan to your spirit. Because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells.
Right.
We say, the Bible says actually, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the only reason it's the temple of the Holy Spirit is because the body is our temple.
Yes. Yes.
The Holy Spirit doesn't live in our body. He lives in our spirit.
Yes. Yes.
That's where he bears witness. He bears witness with our spirit. Because that's where he is.
Yes.
Amen.
So that's where the plan's going to come.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to come to your spirit.
Yes.
And a wise man will draw that out. God, the Bible says counsel's in the heart of a man. Proverbs 20 verse 5. In the heart of a man like deep waters, a man of understanding will draw it out. There's no better way to draw out the plan of God than to pray in other tongues. Now go to Jude. I'm just giving you some verses to build your faith on for what we're about to do here. Jude verse 20. We're familiar with the King James here. Jude 20 says, "Ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God." Pray, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice that part, the most holy faith. Most holy faith. Say it out loud, most holy faith. What would the most holy faith be? Yeah, that was it. Most holy faith. Would there be less holy faith? There must be if there's the most holy faith. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Most, say it again, most holy.
Most holy.
Say it again, most holy.
Most holy.
That's got to be that there's less. There's faith that's less holy.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
You couldn't say most holy if there's something less holy.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Holy means separated unto God, set apart unto God.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So there's something that what he's saying is there's things you can use your faith for that are not as holy concerning the plan of God as other things. Just think about, just quickly think about Romans 12 too. The good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. I don't think the good or the acceptable would be the most holy. It has a measure of holiness in it. It's good. You realize what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
But it's not the perfect.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's really good.
So praying in tongues, he said, is you exercising your most holy faith.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
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 Say it again, the most holy faith.
The most
holy faith. So when we pray, I think the best way to understand this is that we are the temple of God.
Yes.
And the Old Testament temple was a type of us today as the temple of God. And the Old Testament temple had the outer court, the inner court, which was called the holy place, and then the holy of holies.
Yes.
That was the holiest part of the temple. Well, that was the three-staged temple, outer court, inner court, and the Holy of Holies. We're a three-part being. Physical body is the outer court. The soul and the mind and emotions, mind, will, and emotions, that's the inner court. And then there's the spirit. That's the Holy of Holies. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells today. Remember, the reason that the Holy of Holies was called the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament is because that's where the presence of God was housed. And so we can make plans in our mind. To the degree our mind is renewed, will determine how holy that is. Those plans, if we make plans, you know, to do something in life. But there's a way to access the perfect will of God, and that is go all the way to the spirit man and draw out of him and find out what the plan of God is. Does that make sense? Learn not to entertain things in your mind. As far as, I'm not talking about, you know, there's a lot of things you just entertain in your mind. You don't have to pray about it. I mean, just driving down the road, stuff like that. But you know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about things concerning what big decisions, what are you going to do, which direction you're going to go in life, so forth and so on. Learn not to entertain things in your mind until you know where they came from. Until you know where they came from. Where did that come from? An idea can come from different places. Can come from the spirit. Can come from your inner man. And you need to recognize with that where that came from when it came. But the ideas can come from, you know, I was watching a movie and I had this idea. You know, or something, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Just something in the natural gave you the idea. That's good preaching, Pastor Jay. So that's why we want to be praying in tongues as much as we do, because when we do that, your mind is not bearing fruit. Your mind is unfruitful. You're not concocting things in the. In fact, you should learn to, when you pray in tongues, learn to quiet your mind. It's not okay to just pray in tongues and your mind and you're thinking about something the whole time. Learn to quiet your mind. What do I mean, quiet the mind? I mean, stop all the thinking. Yes. And just look. I like to look down on the inside where those tongues are coming from. Yes. If you haven't located that yet, then learn to do that. Locate where those tongues are coming from. Yes, and whenever you do that, a lot of times your mind will get quiet. Yes. And that's by degree. Sometimes it takes a while. You can learn to do that quicker as you grow spiritually. When I first learned to do it, it took me a couple of hours to get my mind quiet. Now I can pretty much turn it off in a couple of minutes, and I'm hooked up down here.
Amen.
And I'm not thinking about, you know, like today, I was talking, really, Teresa was talking to him for me, this guy selling the land, and, you know, I was thinking a lot.
Sure.
I thought, well, I need to do this, I need to do that, and I need to call the lawyer today, and I need to do all that. And I turned on, I was getting ready, and I was turned on a good scripture CD or some good teaching, and my mind started getting quiet, getting off all of that, and I'm like, nope, not today.
Yeah.
I had a sense in me, not today.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. When I got my mind quiet, I started, I was more aware it was down here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a small thing. It might seem like a small thing, but those things can be huge. Those little promptings, little leadings can be huge. Can save you a lot of time, a lot of heartache, a lot of effort that you went through, a lot of motion spinning your wheels. He said, go into all the world and I've ordained you to go and bear fruit, bear much fruit, not much activity.
Yeah.
Activity. Anybody getting older like me? The older you get, the less you like just activity.
Amen.
The older you get, little kids are just active and active and active, and you're like, I don't have any time for that anymore. Go to another room, you know. Just do your do all that stuff that's worth nothing. Do it somewhere else, you know. I got to have purpose through my emotion. I got to bear fruit with what I'm doing. Amen. Some of you haven't smiled all night. I don't know. Okay, Jude 20 in the Amplified says, let me read it. Actually, I only have part of the verse down here. Jude, let's see, Amplified. Can you give me a second?
Yes, sir.
Jude chapter 1, verse 20. In the Amplified. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Whoo! Make progress.
Amen.
Notice he didn't say building up, founded on your most holy faith. Spin your wheels. No, make progress. My wife, when we travel, knows that, you know, we're looking for a place to pull off, maybe get something to eat, or more like it's probably use the restroom. Anyway, I'll pass by that one. Well, we just did that 20 minutes ago. But anyway, so she knows when you find an exit, or if we miss the exit that has a restroom or something, we are not going back. We'll go to the next one. Amen. Somebody said amen. I'm going to come over here and preach to you. I don't like turning around. I like making progress. Can I get a ride home tonight? I need a ride home. Make progress. Woo, I like making progress. And Brother Hagin made the statement. He said, if it just seems like you're high center. Now, that doesn't mean anything. See, do people in Detroit know what high center is?
Nope.
See?
Nope.
If you grew up in the country, you know what high center is. High center. In the country, if you have a country road or a country path, we had them along some of the field edges of our fields, and just a dirt path, and you drive on it and so forth, and you maybe drive on it in the mud and start creating ruts.
Yes, sir.
And it gets high in the center and low in the tire tracks, and eventually, if you're not careful, you can get too high in the center. You try to drive down there and your steering wheel, or not your steering wheel, excuse me, your axle.
Yeah.
Well, get stuck on that high center. That's what high center is.
Thank you. I got it.
Yeah, yeah. And you can just sit there and spin your wheels and go nowhere.
Yeah.
Brother Hagin said, if you ever feel like that, you get to the place in life where you hit high center.
Yes.
He said, pray in other tongues.
Amen.
Ooh, man, oh man. And I've done that over the years. I've been at that place a number of times in my life. Just seemed like I hit high center. Just spinning my wheels, not getting anywhere. Pray in tongues for a while. Eventually, there we go.